I'd like to share with you a text today. I'd like to read to you from Genesis 12, 1 through 9, if you'd follow me. This is a passage that is at the very beginning of the story, the history of the people of faith. I like the word history, because we all have story, and we know where we've come from, we know where we hope we are going. But the word history is kind of like His story. And the way you break that down is to believe that that's God's story that has led us. And so we have this passage from Genesis 12. It's the very beginning of the covenant of the people of faith. It's the very beginning passage of how God intends to be in relationship with humankind. It's a story of how God is plotting goodness in our world. God is not against us, and I'm afraid that a lot of our contemporary preachers, a lot of our contemporary churches are preaching the message that God is against us. God is our enemy, and we have to find ways to make our defense and to make our careful defense in Christ. God has from the beginning been a God of providence and a God of hope who would lead us into places where we can take care of ourselves, where we can depend on God for hope and for help. Listen to these words from Genesis 12, 1 through 9, the call of Abram, the prophet. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you also will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired there in Haran, and they set forth to go into the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oaks of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him from the east of Beth-El, and pitched his tent, and with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the desert. These are the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So according to these ancient stories of Genesis, God is up to something surprising and even, in fact, amazing in our world. While we're busy plotting evil, God is plotting goodness. Yeah, sometimes we humans try to rope God into our dark plans and use God to help us scramble to the top of the pyramid where we can dominate or even claim over others. Yes, we sometimes try to enlist God to condemn all that we want to condemn, to deprive those whom we want to deprive, or even to kill those whom we want to kill. But God isn't willing to be domesticated into our little tribal deity on a leash who will sic 'em on our command. While we plot ways to use God to get blessings for ourselves, God stays focused on the big picture of blessing the whole world, which includes blessing us in the process. You see, this pattern unfolded when God chose a man named Abram and a woman named Sarai. They are from a prominent family in an ancient city-state known as Ur, one of the first ancient Middle Eastern civilizations. Like all civilizations, Ur has a dirty little secret. Its affluence is built on violence and oppression and exploitation of people. Behind its beautiful facade, its upper classes live each day in luxury while its masses slave away in squalor. God tells this couple, Abram and Sarai, to leave their life of privilege in this great civilization. He sends them out to the unknown as wanderers and adventurers. No longer will Abram and Sarah have the armies and the wealth and the comforts of Ur at their disposal. All they will have is a promise that God will be with them and show them a better way. From now on, they will make a new road by walking on it. God's promise comes in two parts. In the first part, Abram and Sarah will be blessed. They will become a great nation, and God will bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. That's the kind of promise that we might expect. It's the second part that's surprising. Not only will they be blessed, but they will be a blessing to others. Not only will the family become a great nation, but all the families of earth will be blessed through them. That's a kind of unique identity there. It means that the children of Sarah and Abram will be a blessing. They will be unique. They will be a unique us in relation to all the other thems of the world. You're familiar with us and them theology. It's us who are privileged, serving those them who are in need. I don't know that God has planned it that way. I think that God's grace calls us to be understanding ourselves as the ones who are in need, to share what blessings we have with those who are like us. Now, their identity would not be at the top of the pyramid, but more at the bottom of it. Their identity would not be assimilating us into them or assimilating them into us. More, it would be us for them, as with them, for the benefit and for the blessing of all. That other identity, us for the common good, wasn't intended just for Abram and Sarah's plan. It's the kind of identity that is best for every individual, every culture, every nation, and every faith. It says, we're special, but it also says, you are special too. It says, God has a place for all of us and a plan for us, but it also says, God has a place for others in that plan as well. when we drift away from that calling and start thinking of ourselves as privileged, as our clan, or our nation, or our religion even, our sense of identity begins to go stale and sour even, maybe toxic. So the story of Abram and Sarah's unique identity tells us something powerful about God's identity too. God is not the tribal deity of some one group of chosen people. God is not for us and against all others. Not God on our side, so to speak. I remember a time when, as a child, I was having a little game of Fortress with some cousins. And we are competing, we're getting under the beds, we're hiding, we're plotting against one another. We were struggling and we were saying, well, God is on our side. And the other team was saying, well, Jesus is on our side. Imagine that, God and Jesus on opposite sides. God is not for us in our conquests. God is for us in our efforts for grace and hope in our world. God is not for us in competition with others. God is for us in cooperation with others and in finding our place where we can work together. God has a place and a plan for others too. When we drift from that high calling and start thinking only of ourselves, we think only of our clan, our nation, our religion, our sense of identity. And all of a sudden, it begins to go stale and sour. God is not for us against all the others. God is for us and them too. God loves everyone, everywhere, no exceptions. But this story also tells us something about true faith. That faith is stepping off the map into a new world. It's stepping off the map of what is known and making a new road by walking in the unknown. It's responding to God's call to adventure. Stepping out into a quest for goodness and understanding that the status quo is not as good as it gets. Believing that the promise of a better life is possible. True faith is not an ideal where we use God to get the inside track or a special advantage or a secret magic formula for success. It isn't a mark of superiority or exclusion. True faith is about joining God in God's love for everyone. Not about privilege. Not about Abram and Sarah having special hope for their own and their own people, but about them hoping for a way to be an influence for God in the world, to bring hope and privilege to all people, all God's people. True faith is about joining God in God's love for everyone. It's about seeking goodness with others, not goodness at the expense of others. True faith is about seeing a bigger circle in which we are all connected, all included, loved, and blessed. True faith reverses the choice that is depicted in the story of Adam and Eve. In that story, Adam and Eve want to set themselves above everything and everyone else. True faith brings us back down to the earth, into solidarity with others and with all of creation. Sadly, for many people in our world, even in our community, faith has been reduced to a list. For some, it's a list of believing, a list of beliefs. Maybe ideals or statements even, statements of faith that we have to memorize and assent to if we want to be one of the ones who are blessed. For others, it's a list of do's and don'ts. rituals or ways to stay on the straight and narrow path. It's the ways we have to perform in order to earn the status of being blessed. But Abram didn't have much in the way of beliefs or rules or rituals. He had no Bibles or doctrines or temples even, or even commandments yet, or ceremonies. For him, for Abram and Sarah, true faith was simply a trusting of the promise of being blessed to be a blessing. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear that. That God blesses us in order to become a blessing for others. It's not just a blessing of privilege. It's a blessing of responsibility. It is a blessing and an appreciation of that blessing in order that we might pass it on to others, to become a blessing for others. That's what it means to achieve our goals. That's what it means to realize true aliveness in faith. True aliveness comes when we receive blessing and we become a blessing to others. It's not a blessing racket. Figuring out how we can plot for prosperity for me and for my tribe. My family, my congregation. It's a blessing where God promises goodness for all and calls us to participate in sharing that goodness. Like all of us, Abram and Sarah lose sight of this promise and the vision of aliveness sometimes. But even when they lose faith, God remains faithful. And though their mistakes and failures abound, as do ours, they, like us, keep learning and growing, delivering more and more of God's promises and God's desire to overflow us with abundant blessings. Are you ready to step out on that same journey of faith with Sarah and Abraham? It's not just about claiming God's blessings and enjoying them, as much fun as that might be. It's about sharing them. It's about blessing others. It's about being blessed in order to be a blessing. Are you ready to make that road by walking? I challenge you to hold on to that understanding and to understand that the more we share what we have, the more we will enjoy it. The more we will enjoy seeing others treasure it. I invite you to meditate for a few moments on this very profound truth. This God truth. I am blessed. Use it in your own first person. I am blessed to be a blessing to others. How can that become true in your world?